One thing that I can tell you that is for real, though, that I know is for real, is when I first met Brent Friedman, he told me an incredible story about a family friend who was a high-level government official in the Reagan administration and the story that he was told. And I'm not going to tell that story right now because I need it to be heard from Brent's own words. It's on the Dark Skies tape under the cookie, the Easter egg on the fifth DVD. And I'd rather he tell it in his own words because I don't want to misrepresent it. But I do want to tell you one about what happened on the night that Dark Skies had our screening party. We debuted on September 26th, 1996. We had a big party out at my house. And I think there were like 200 people here. There were the studio executives and the network executives and the cast and the crew. And we were just trying to have a big party that would give everybody a chance to see the show. We had TVs in the backyard, and it was just a lot of fun. As people came in, they were registered, and we gave everybody a Majestic 12 badge with their picture on it. Okay, so if anyone sees a nice red Magic 12 badge with my picture on it, I'm not purporting that that's anything other than my collectible from that party. During the party, I was the executive producer of the series and the owner of the house, so I was doing a lot of hosting chores, and I'd already seen the pilot like 7,000 times at this point, so I was tending to business, and Brent was in the same position. He was just off hanging around in the in the backyard watching people watch the show. And while he was having a beer, a young guy showed up, early 30s, in a blue blazer. He had a crisp white shirt on, black loafers, this kind of thing. He looked like the kind of guy that might have been one of the studio or network executives, but Brent had never seen him before. And he didn't have a magic badge on, which everyone else had. And he said to Brent, "Well, this is quite an accomplishment. It's a really good show." And he said, "What's amazing to me is that you've worked a lot of truth into this show." So Brent ends up having a conversation with this guy who tells him, "You got a lot of stuff right, but you got a lot of it wrong." And he says, if you're willing, I could bring some people in who could pretty much tell you the errors you've made and tell you what's really going on. Now, I know how that sounds, but he seemed like a pretty straightforward guy, and he was not threatening in any way. Brent said, "What's your name again?" The guy said, "Well, you can just call me JC." He was smiling. He was cordial. He didn't look like a government spook. And he said to Brent, "Look, I know you think I'm just putting you on, that I'm some kind of wacko, but you have nothing to fear. But I was sent here, and as a sign of good faith, I want to show you something. Do you have a pen, paper, and pencil?" And Brent didn't, and just as he was fumbling around, his wife showed up. She did have paper and pencil in her purse. And he starts writing something on this piece of paper. And Brent said, "Well, what is this?" And it had this kind of weird hieroglyphic kind of look. And the guy said, "It's the secret of the universe." And I know how crazy this sounds. And Brent said, "Well, what is it?" And the guy said, "Sound, light, frequency. The combination of those three forces allows you to control the universe." He said, "Now put it in a safety deposit box 10, 15 from years from now. You'll see that I was telling you the truth." Now, what's interesting about this is Brent was freaked out by this guy. I mean, that seemed like a very credible thing, the way he laid it off. And another producer of ours, Brad Markowitz, was also approached by this guy, who did the same thing, sound, light, and frequency. And I've never actually found that as something that relates to ufology. George, have you ever heard of people talking
No.
sound, light, and frequency?
No.
I never have either. But that's what I'm saying. This could just be a guy that crashed the party, okay? But he followed it up with a call to the offices, and he sort of called Brent as the guy, and he said he wanted to come to the office, and he brought and Brent set this up. I was crazed with production details, but this guy brings in some guy who he says is way deep in the military, and he starts talking about the aquarium and the aviary. Now, I've heard of the aviary before. That was the so-called Air Force guys who, and this guy explained it, wanted to keep it a secret at all costs. But he said the aquarium guy was naval intelligence, and those guys wanted to get the truth out. I don't know if that squares with what you've heard before either.
Well, yeah. Our last show, we had somebody on it talking about the aquarium, and he named a couple of the names of people involved in it.
Okay, well, this guy said, these two guys, I was in this meeting. I mean, this was at my office. I ended up just saying, okay, I've got an hour. Let's hear what these guys have to say. And they basically, the guy from the kind of the more scary looking guy who said he was from the aquarium said they'd come to broker a deal. He said, "We'll share our secrets. You put them in episodes. We don't need to be paid. We don't want credit, but you have to insert them exactly as we tell you."
Oh.
Now, the first thing I said was, "Well, that's it. Conversation over." I mean, first of all, you have to understand, no executive producer has that ability. I mean, maybe Chris Carter did on The X-Files, and maybe Aaron Sorkin did on West Wing, but I certainly didn't. I mean, if I told the network some crazy guy came to my office and told me to put this in an episode, I wouldn't get very far with it. So we said, "Well, do you have any evidence?" And he put a little. And I know this sounds crazy. I just, even as I say it, to say it on Coast to Coast, is a little crazy. But he puts a glass vial on the table, and it looks like it's got fool's gold or something in it. All I can say is it looked gold, and it was in this thing. And he says, "Well, that's what you need to know. That's why they're here."
Huh.
He said, "You don't understand how valuable this is. You have to reroute your show to this, because this stuff you're doing with ganglions and stuff and abductions, and that's not what it's about. This is what it's about." So, and here's where it just gets insane and goes off the deep end, and then we end the relationship. They said, "Well, we know this is a little hard to believe, but we're willing to take it to the next level once you've, we're willing to let you meet with some high-ranking naval official above the guy that had come with the guy that Brent met at our party." And that high-ranking naval official was supposed to meet us. And okay, this makes no sense. At a cemetery in Long Beach at midnight.
Oh, that's nice. Nice touch.
Right? And I said, "Okay, meeting's over." I have three kids. And I said, "I'm not going to any cemetery in Long Beach at midnight to meet with people I don't know, that I can't source, that, I'm just... That's not my plan. I'm not doing it." And so it never happened. And the guy kept calling us, and we didn't take his calls, and ultimately it just went away. So was it an opportunity that we missed, or was it just some people having fun with us? I don't know. But I will tell you this. If they were having fun with us, and that's entirely possible, they had rehearsed their material very well.